We all go through hard times. We all have troubles. We all have trials. We all have troubles and trials that we can't control oftentimes. And because we all have troubles and trials we can't control, I want to encourage you, let's make the best of our situation. How many are going through a trial right now in your life? You got some trouble, you got some test, you got something you're going through in your life. More than likely, every one of us are, if you'd be honest. Just stop and think a little bit, and you'll conclude that you indeed have some kind of need in your life. We all have those situations that come in life. And someone's well said, either you're in a storm, coming out of a storm, or fixing to go into a storm. And so, but here's the message the Lord's placed on my heart to share with you today. As we can't control the storms, but we can grow in the troubles and trials. We can make the most of it. And I don't know if sometimes every once in a while the Lord gives me something to share that's for me. I don't know about anybody else, but it's for me indeed. And I believe there are us today. Now listen, it's already summertime, right? I said it's already summertime, right? How many agree with me? It's already summertime. But let me ask you this. Do you want to just have this summer to come and go and you look back on it and say, oh, well, it was summertime and now it's over? Don't you want to make your summer sizzle? How many want to make your summer sizzle? You see, it's easy just to go through the motions. It's easy to kind of just respond day by day. But if you have a definite plan and if you've got some goals, for some reason or another this week, the Lord has been speaking in my heart about some goals this summer. You look back in just a blink of an eye, if the Lord tarries, you look back on your summer and it's gone. And you say, well, what did I do this summer? Now, there's nothing wrong with going to spend time with your family and vacation time and having a good time. But let me just ask you, what kind of spiritual goals do you have this summer? Do you have any? Do you have any spiritual goals? What are they? What about this? And we're going to look today about some goals that I want to challenge you and me alike, not just to go to the summer and say, oh, well, we had fun and it was another summer and the children ready to start back to school in the fall and we're ready, you know, summer's ended. But what are you going to, are you planning to let God do some greater things in your life this summer? If you're not aiming at anything, you're sure to hit it, all right? We all have troubles. We all have troubles that we can't control. And that's why we need to make the best of it. We need to, by the grace of God, ask God to help us to grow through these trials, through these problems that you're facing right now. And not only that, but that we can be a blessing to somebody else. How to make your summer sizzle. That's the title of the message. And speaking of troubles and trials, I heard about a boy that would go into a barber shop about once every month. And every time he'd come to the barber shop, the barber would say to his friend, say, look, here comes the stupidest, the dumbest boy in all the world. He said, watch what I mean. And he said, the boy would come up to him and he'd say, son, after he would get his hair cut, he would say, son, if I gave you a dollar, or would you rather have a dollar bill or would you rather have 50 cents? And the boy would say, 50 cents. And so the barber would give him 50 cents. And the little boy would go out the door and the barber would look to his friends and say, see what I told you? He's the dumbest, stupidest boy. I mean, and the barber would laugh. He said, I offered him a dollar, but he took 50 cents instead. I mean, nobody in the right mind would take 50 cents instead of a dollar. A dollar's more than 50 cents. And one of the men that was standing in the barbershop watched the little boy as he walked over across the road into an ice cream shop. And the man stood there on the outside of the ice cream shop. And the little boy came walking out of the door with an ice cream cone in his hand. He was licking on that ice cream. And the man who had left the barbershop listening to the barber say about this young boy who was just didn't get it. He said to the young boy, he said, son, I saw you in the barber shop, and I noticed that the barber offered you a dollar or 50 cents. And he said, why in the world did you take 50 cents? Don't you know that a dollar is more than 50 cents? And the boy looked at the man and licked his ice cream cone and said, yes, sir. He said, yes, sir. The day I take the dollar, the game is over. And he licked his ice cream cone. He wasn't as dumb as the barber thought he was, all right? And so, I'll tell you what, how to make your summer sizzle. There are three ways that God put in my heart. There were more ways, but I've got to narrow down the message because time won't allow me to share all the ways that the Lord was putting on my heart. Three ways to make your summer sizzle. Three ways to help you to grow while you're going through a trial. Three ways to make you a blessing and be blessed by God even in hard times. I'm preaching to somebody today, I know. I'm preaching to some people today, I know, that are going through some hard times. And I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. The book of Jeremiah. You remember Jeremiah the prophet? Jeremiah was going through a difficult time in his life. And the Lord dropped in some things in Jeremiah's life that I believe certainly can be applicable and practical to you and me today in regards to going through a tough time and yet being a blessing and being blessed of God. I hope you've got your notes out today. We're not going to use any kind of PowerPoint this morning. I thought about it. I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, I just would rather share the word. And then in a few moments, you're going to respond and I'm going to get to respond to what God is telling us in his word. How to sizzle this summer. And I want to invite you in a moment to stand, but not right yet. If we look at the book of Jeremiah, you'll notice briefly a brief overview, bird's eye view of the book of Jeremiah, leading us up to chapter 32. Jeremiah, first of all, you notice his calling. In chapter 1, verse 5, God said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before you were born, and I ordained you. I called you to be a prophet of God. So we see the calling of Jeremiah. Secondly, as we progress through the book of Jeremiah, namely in chapter 5, 6, and 7, we not only see the calling, but we see the condition of which people he was prophesying, namely the southern kingdom of Judah. The condition, what was the condition? It was absolutely terrible. During that time, much like today in America, there was immorality, ungodliness, and problems, insecurity, instability on every hand. Nonetheless, we not only progress and see the calling of Jeremiah and the condition of Jeremiah, but thirdly, notice the courage of Jeremiah. He was to preach to these people, and God said, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to turn a deaf ear, and yet you've got to go and do what I called you to do. How many know that God calls us to be faithful to him? Regardless, hey, have you witnessed to that person? And you say, but they won't listen to me. The question is not whether they'll listen to you or not. The question is, are you going to obey God? Are you going to do what God tells you to do? God always honors obedience. Well, I don't think I'll, I mean, you know, I don't know about this thing of talking with this person, or why should I pray for this family member? I mean, they're just going down the wide and the broad gate. It's not going to help any. God puts it on your heart to do something. You need to do it. Don't worry about the results. Let's just obey God. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. That's what God requires, obedience, obedience. So we come through the book of Jeremiah. Not only do we see the calling, condition, his courage, but then you see his confinement. Guess what? Jeremiah was not rewarded. He was not patted on the back for his obedience. Rather, he was put in prison. That's exactly right. And we're going to pick up in the text in a moment and find out he's in prison. But wait a minute. He's committed. Lastly, he's committed. And we're going to see that. Jeremiah was going to be committed to God. Look, here's the application. In hard times, you see, you can grow in the Lord, and you and I can be blessed of God and be a blessing to somebody else, even when we're going through difficult times. Some of you are stressed out today, the truth be known. In fact, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but probably a lot of us are stressed to the max. You've got a lot of things going on. You're wondering how in the world you're going to be able to do all this. You're concerned about the future, your finances, your family. Hey, we all got troubles. We all got troubles. In fact, we got troubles we can't control. But we can grow in the midst of our troubles. Hey, look, will you make the best of your troubles today? Will you say, Lord, I wanted your blessings. I want your blessings. And if you follow the clear guideline in the book of Jeremiah, as we come to chapter 32, I will guarantee you that you and I will be blessed of God, will grow in the Lord, our summer can sizzle, and the Lord will do great mighty things in our life. And that's what I want, and I believe that's what you want. And the church said, amen. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. All right, I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 32. If you'd like to stand as I read the wonderful word of God, if you're able to, I want to read a few verses, and primarily I want to get down to verse 15, 16, and 17. But here is a time that Jeremiah is speaking to the southern kingdom. It just so happens the northern kingdom has already been overthrown by the Assyrians. Now in the southern kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies are on the brink of invading the southern kingdom. Jeremiah is a prophet. Jeremiah understands what's coming in the future, and yet he has a message to the people of God, Israel, and the message is loud and clear. Oh, brother, it's a great message indeed. And let's pick up in the verse of, what about verse 1 of chapter 32? If you're there one more time, would you say amen? Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Remember, Babylonians were the enemies of Israel. And so this is the year of Zedekiah, Jeremiah. I'm giving you a little background before we launch into the text. Verse 2. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was patted on the back, and he was given a chariot, and he was given the king's court, and he was able to sit at the table. Is that what your Bible says? No, it doesn't. See, you're not reading your Bible. If you read it, you're reading, you'd understand. Jeremiah wasn't patted on the back. Jeremiah was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. Jeremiah is reprimanded for obeying God. Have you ever had some obstacles to happen to you, troubles to happen to you, persecution because of your obedience to God? Have you ever noticed the devil's not happy you serving God? Have you ever noticed that people will try to get to you for serving the Lord? Have you ever noticed that it seems like, listen to me, sometimes things go wrong when you're doing, by the grace of God, the best you can for the glory of God? It doesn't mean everything's going to be cherry and peaches and cream. Oh no, the Lord's not promised to take us out of the storm, but he did promise to be with us in the storm. And you can be blessed for that today. You can thank God for that today. Now skip down to verse number 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shalem, thine uncle, shall come into thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth. For the right of redemption is thine to buy. Hanamiel, mine uncle's son, came to me. Now this was his cousin, Jeremiah's cousin. Notice, Jeremiah's cousin comes to him in verse 8, into the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that it is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanamiel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. Pause right there a moment. What in the world is happening? Why is Jeremiah buying land at a time when ISIS is coming? I'm sorry, not ISIS. At a time when the Babylonians are fixing to take over land. Most people were selling their land, not buying land. What in the world is he doing? Why is he buying land? Jeremiah, don't you understand? You're fixing to be taken in captivity. Oh, wait a minute. Look at this. And then verse number 10. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it. That is the evidence of purchasing this land. 17 shekels of silver. I'm not exactly sure how much that is, but some suggest, scholars, that's not a whole lot of money. No wonder people weren't really, the price of land wasn't allotted during that time. Why? Because the Babylonians were fixing to come take over. Hang with me now. I'm going somewhere. And so verse 11, so I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and the custom, and that which was open. And then notice that he purchased this, verse 14, skip down to verse number 13. And I charged Baruch. Now Baruch was his scribe, all right, Jeremiah's scribe. Verse 13, before them saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and evidence which is open, and put them in a earthen vessel that they may continue many days. This was to prevent decay and such of destruction, the clay jar, the sealing and such. Look at verse 15. Don't miss this. Underline verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed. What's the next word? The word is again. Hey, y'all look at me. Some of you are going through a hard time, but God is going to speak to your heart, I believe it with all my heart, and say, it ain't over yet. There's still hope in the Lord. You got troubles, you got trials, you got issues, but God said, I'm going to be with you. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, I'm going to bring my people back to their homeland. Yes, they messed up. How many have ever messed up? We've all messed up. But I'm not finished yet. Jeremiah, there's peace in the middle of a hard time, and God is speaking to you right now and telling you that He is going to fulfill His purpose and promise. I feel like shouting right there. Oh, brother and sister, I'm going to be telling you why I feel like shouting in a moment. Verse number 16. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah. Take your pencil, take your pen, underline this next phrase. What does it say? I prayed unto the Lord. Let's say that together. I prayed unto the Lord. One more time. Oh, you can already see it coming to pass, can't you? The light is turned on right now, isn't it? Now you're beginning to understand. What do I do when I'm going through a hard time? Jeremiah prayed unto the Lord his God. Look at verse 17. I love verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for thee. Let's say that together. There is nothing too hard for thee. One more time. Do you believe that? You don't really believe that, do you? Nah, you don't believe that. If you believe that, if I believe that, we'd be living different. If you really believe there's nothing too hard for God, we wouldn't be all stressed out about this and that and the other. We wouldn't be, I'm just kind of being a little bit sarcastic here, but the truth is, we lose sight that there is nothing too hard for God. And some of you today, your wheels are turning. You know where I'm going, as where God is going. Look at verse 18. Nothing's too hard for God. Jeremiah prayed to the Lord. Verse 16, he said, nothing's too hard for God. Look at verse 18. Thou showest love and kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of the children after them. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. Verse 19, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to our heart today. Father, I do bless you and praise you that you are our rock and salvation. You are, Lord, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You are, precious Lord, our Redeemer. You're our God, and there's none else beside you. We thank you that your grace is sufficient. We bless you, Father, even during hard times and challenges and tests of trials that you allow us to go through, that, dear God, you've got a plan and a purpose for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and to be changed and transformed into your image. But Lord, the problem's not with you. The problem's with me. The problem's with us. We, Father God, take our eyes off of you. And Lord, we look at our circumstances. We begin to let our flesh and our feelings and our emotions and our human reasoning take over instead of launching out in faith and simply casting ourselves at your feet and in faith trusting you that, dear God, you love us and you have our best interests in mind. Father, break through today in our hearts, encourage our hearts, lift heavy burdens. And Father, I want to grow in your grace and knowledge. I want the much more. And I believe the people here, Father, your people are hungry for the much more. They're thirsty, dear Lord, what's ahead. And we know, dear God, there's challenges. But Father, ultimately you will get glory and honor because it's about you that you've conquered the grave. You were crucified, but you're coming again one day. And the best is yet to come. And we give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. All right, real simple. Nothing profound about what I'm fixing to share. Three ways that you can make your summer sizzle. You ready for them? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. All right, three ways you can make your summer sizzle. You ready for them? Number one, enlarge your prayer influence. I find that in verse 16. By number one, enlarging your prayer influence. I'll come back to it in a moment. Number two, nothing profound, but yet so practical. Number two, not only enlarging your prayer influence, but when you're going through a hard time, when you're facing some difficulty, not only should we ask God to enlarge our prayer influence, number two, it's real simple. Work on your faith in God. Work in your faith in God. You need to work on your faith in God. That's exactly right. I find that in verse number 17. And I also find it in verse 15, and I just alluded to it a little bit earlier. But number three, and it's not only should we ask the Lord to enlarge our prayer influence, but also work on your faith in God. I mean, your trust in the Lord, your dependence on Him. Number three, you ready for it? Reconnect with your family. Reconnect with your family. You see, there's something about it. When we go through a trouble, when we go through trials, there's something about it that we can reconnect with our family. Let's say that together. Reconnect with your family. Say it again. Reconnect with your family. Work on your faith in God. Say it with me. Work on your faith in God. One more time. I only hear a couple of people saying that. Say it with me. Work on your faith in God. Here we go. Work on your faith in God. Why are we repeating this? Because it helps the Holy Spirit of God. Well, it helps us really to remember and to make application. That's when all is said and done. In a few moments, the question is, are you going to do this? Are you doing it? And then are you going to go a little further? But then number one, enlarge your prayer influence. Question. How many of us, let's be honest, how many of us could use a little more influence and a little bit more prayer? Our prayer life could be enhanced somewhat. How many would agree that your prayer life could be enhanced a little bit? Those that didn't raise your hand, how long you had this problem with lying? You know you're lying. Every one of us, our prayer life could use a little hint and truth be known. I mean, we never get to the point where we say, bless God, if Jesus prayed. And so you and I need a little influence and a little bit of enlarging in our prayer life. All right, here we go. Number one. Number one. Jeremiah is going through a hard time. He's in jail. I can see him right now in jail. He's in prison. And even though it wasn't maybe a dungeon prison per se, he had more liberties as some of those in the dungeon. But nonetheless, he's confined. But I want to tell you something. His prayer life is not confined. And some of us that are walking around free, our prayer life is in prison. I just hit a nerve right there. Some of you, listen, beloved, I want to encourage you as your pastor, the power of prayer. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You pray. When you're going through a hard time, is there anybody here that's facing some challenges physically? Is there anybody here facing some financial challenges? Is there anybody here? Your family, there's some stuff going on in your family and you just can't fix it. You don't know what to do. You've been stressed about it. You've been worried about it. You've been anxious about it. You're just... you're just as about to overtake you. But God's telling you today, instead of walking around trying to fix the problem that you can't fix and I can't fix, thank God, we can pray about it and God can fix the problem. Will you ask God to enlarge your prayer life? Well, why should we pray? And when should we pray? And how should we pray? Why should we pray? Hey, you know why we should pray. God wants us to talk to Him. But look, our trouble is we're going through a hard time. Jeremiah is looking around. He's saying, man, the Babylonians are coming in. You know what Jeremiah's doing? He's not belly aching like I do and like you do. How many have been belly aching lately? How many have been whining about all your problems? Come on, talk to me. You've been whining about all your problems. Man, if this wouldn't happen, and if this wouldn't happen, I talked with a man the other day. It was like a revelation. I'll explain a little bit more in a moment. But I was sharing with this man, and we were talking together. And you know what? Look, he was a mechanic. He was probably, I think, in his 60s. He looked at me, and somebody else was with me, and we were talking about all the things that happened in life. Y'all have had some problems here this week, hadn't you? I'm talking to you right now. I'm not talking to this man, the mechanic, but I'll tell you about him in a moment. But you've had some problems this week, hadn't you? Yep. You've had problems this week, hadn't you? I know you have. I know God would not have put this on my heart if you didn't have some problems. You've had some problems. And you know, I said this to this man, this mechanic. You know what he said to me? Guess what he said? Yep. That's life. That's life. Say it with me. That's life. One more time. Hey, man, that's life. Job said, man born of a woman, just a few days is full of troubles. I mean, we're going to have troubles on every side, but I like that old song. Somebody help me here. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But we're standing on, how's it go? But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story. Are you sure it doesn't say how we undercome? You sure it doesn't say undercome? We could probably change that, edit that a little bit, couldn't we? How we've overcome. Say it with me. How we've overcome. Question, are you overcoming? Are you? Are these trials and trouble about to carry you under? Oh, I know we've got, some got more trials than others. Yes, amen. We will understand it better by and by. Hey, there's some things you can't control. But the key is when you're going through a hard time, listen, I'm not saying this for any other reason, but I really believe with all my heart, some of us need to get with God today. We need to get to God with God today. Why? Because we got a lot of stuff on us. We got a lot of stuff on us, don't we? And you know that it's not going to be good for you to try to carry it all. How many believe that? It's not going to be good for you. Watch this now. Please hear me. I trust, and as your pastor, I love you, know that. I don't want to see anything happen to you, physically, any other way. And so, but I know sometimes when we try to take too much on, it will absolutely debilitate us physically. You believe that? Stress will just absolutely... So let's pray today. How many are covenant with me today and say, I'm going to pray today. I got some problems, but I'm going to pray today. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to let this message just... Well, I enjoyed the message. I'm going to pray. There's some stuff right now that you already got on your mind and heart that you just need. You say, well, I prayed yesterday. Pray today anyway. You need to. The thing of prayer... I like the story of the man that said to the Lord when he was praying. He said, Dear God... He said, Dear God, I hadn't lost my temper today. Well, what should we say? Find my temper. But anyway, he said, I hadn't lost my temper today, Lord. I hadn't been anxious today, Lord. And I hadn't gotten the flesh today, Lord. But he said, in 5 minutes, God, I got to get out of the bed. He's in the bed and he's praying that. You understand? Hey, it's easy to pray when you're in the bed, but you got to get out. That's a lie. That's a lie. But look, you should pray. You should pray. God will bear that burden. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain. Number one, enlarge your... And here's what will happen. You see, when you're going through a hard time, and you see when you're going through trouble and trial like Jeremiah was, you know what's going to happen? Here's what we do, me included. See if you agree with me. Here's what we do. We focus on all the stuff that's going bad, all the trouble that we've got. Why doesn't this work? And why is this going wrong? And how am I going to... And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with focusing on trying to develop a plan. But if that's all we do, no wonder we're depressed. No wonder we're discouraged. No wonder we can't overcome. Because I suggest that I believe the Lord wants us to pray like Jeremiah. I prayed unto the Lord. Jeremiah's faced with the inevitable. He's fixing to lose the land. But wait a minute, I've got to stop. Why? Why are they fixing to lose the land? I'll tell you why. Because they didn't do what God told them to do in Leviticus chapter 25. That is, the Israelites. They didn't let the land lay rest until that seventh year. And consequently, God led them in captivity. God came and got his people, took them all the way into Babylon. How long? 70 years. Because of the time they didn't allow the land to lay rest. And yet Jeremiah's right in the middle of this before the people are taken into Babylon. What does he do? What does he say? How does he respond? I'm coming to number two in a moment. But you know what he did? He prayed. Don't you think you ought to pray? I'm not just talking about sometime tomorrow. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about a few minutes. I'm talking about right now. You need to pray. I tell you, it'll make you feel better. You pray in faith. You pray and take it to the Lord. It'll sure make you feel better. And I know there's nothing wrong with... I know God may not fix all your problems. You've got to cooperate with the Lord. But first pray before you do anything else. Pray, pray, pray. God will show you answers. How many believe that? God will open doors. How many believe that? And not only that, but here's the good thing that I was trying to get to in a moment ago. The influence you'll have. You're going through a hard time. You got stress and troubles, and all of a sudden you're focused on your problems, but you begin to pray, and then for some, I can't explain it, some reason or another, God will bring you out, or at least allow you to go through what you're going through and give you the grace to stay where you're at and then to be a blessing to somebody else. And all of a sudden, your prayer life has been influenced and God has gotten glory. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what you want? But instead of that, I can just sit down and pout. Me, myself, and I. Oh, poor me. I've got all these problems, and I've got this, and you don't know. And brother, if you're not discouraged, you can talk yourself into being discouraged. Can I say this in love? And I really mean this. I don't know what a lot of you are going through. You're going through a lot more than I'm going through. But don't let the devil get you to the place where all you do is focus on all your problems. You will be defeated every day. And here's the deal. It starts, look up here please, just a moment. Here's where it starts, right here. You agree with me? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You got to change that mindset. I get a bad attitude. You ever get a bad attitude? Yeah. We get a bad attitude. And if I don't get with the Lord and pray, I'm going to keep a bad attitude. And some of us, you know, with all the troubles and problems and summer and things going on, we get a bad attitude real quick. And then we're not able to influence the prayer life. Number two, and I got to quickly move. Not only, notice what verse 16 says, back up to verse 15. You got to see it. Back up to verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses. Remember, he's talking to Jeremiah. During the time when they're fixing to be taken out of their land into another land. Get the picture. For thus saith, verse 15, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Well, now, what do you think that did to Jeremiah? Tell me, what do you think that did to Jeremiah? When Jeremiah heard that word from God, what did it do? Somebody tell me. What did that do to him? He knows he's fixing to be taken into another land. He's buying some land where he's fixing to be taken out of. Jeremiah, have you lost your mind, son? People are selling land left and right. Why are you buying land when God is fixing to take y'all into Babylon, miles and miles away? What was God trying to show Jeremiah when he said, you'll come back to this land again, What did that do to Jeremiah? Talk to me. Hope. How many believe that when God tells you He's going to do something, He's going to do it? Isn't that what you need today? A word from the Lord? I got to say that again. Isn't that what you need today? A word from the Lord. When God tells you He's going to do something, He's going to do it. And that's all you need is from God to tell you He's going to do something. Now look, you're going through a hard time, you're going through trouble, or maybe there's a door, you're not sure if God's going to open or not. And all you need to do is get with God today and say, Lord, I need a word from You. You know why? If you don't get a word from the Lord, and I know sometimes God in His sovereignty, He allows us to continue to trust Him day by day, and often the Lord will not reveal necessarily immediately when we ask about His will, but as we maintain a heart of attitude and love and obedience to God, soon enough, the Lord will show us exactly what He wants us to do as we obey Him and the little things. But nonetheless, listen, God said, you're coming back to the land, Jeremiah. You're coming back to the land. Jeremiah's thinking, I'm in prison. God's given me this word. I'm buying some land. God gave me His word. We're going to come back to this land. So what do you do when you're going through hard times? What do you do when you have troubles and trials? Let me tell you something that happened to me this week. And this was no doubt a confirmation of what I'm sharing with you right now. I had the privilege of being in Chattanooga, Tennessee this week. I appreciate you praying and intense Bible study and studying the Word of God for about 20 hours, writing perhaps 100 notes and trying to prepare as your pastor to be the best equipped I can be as I share with you. And anyway, finally at the end of this time, I was making my way over to a wedding in South Carolina. In Greenville, South Carolina, it's about a five-hour drive from there, as you know. And so I'm leaving the motel, and as I'm going down this motel, now you need to know it's way up on a hill, and it's one of the steepest driveways I've ever seen. It's kind of curvy, and it's near the mountain area. And anyway, it goes straight, almost straight down from the driveway right as you leave the motel. Well, how many have ever made a mistake? Let me see your hand. I don't know the last time you've done this, but I feel absolutely, I felt absolutely defeated. Let me tell you what happened. I'm being transparent. I'm not trying to sugarcoat. I'm just going to tell you what happened. And anyway, I'm riding down the hill. I got distracted. I looked at the gas gauge thinking, well, I got to go by and get some gasoline. I took my eye off the road. I'm going down this hill, not real fast, but probably 35, 40 miles an hour. There's a concrete culvert right there on the right side of the road. I veered too close to the culvert. The right front tire hit. Boom, the culvert. How many know that's not good? And still going down the hill, the tire blew out. I can't stop the car. It's going down the hill. Finally, after about 50 feet of skidding on the rim. How many know that's not good? The tire is gone. The rim is... And I finally make my way to the bottom, just about the bottom of the hill. I come to a stop. I get out of the car. I look at the right front tire. It's turned this way. I look at the left front tire. It's turned this way. How many know that's not good? Not good. Not good. Correct. Along with several other parts, I discovered. Anyway, so here I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You ever been like this? Troubles and trials, and it was my own fault. I take responsibility. It was the devil's fault. No, I'm just kidding. It was my fault. How many have ever done something stupid like that? Don't raise your hand. Amen. But here it is. I'm in Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, here it is Thursday afternoon. I got to be in South Carolina tomorrow for a wedding. I was doing the wedding, spending time with a couple and a niece. And anyway, so I don't know a mechanic up there. I don't know anything. And anyway, bottom line, I had to get a tow truck. Come get it. Finally found a tow truck. How many know that? I was blessed. I got out of the car. After my initial response, and you know what the Lord seemed to quicken on my heart? In everything give thanks. This is the will of God. Hey, after the first initial, look what I've done. Dennis, it is what it is. I mean, and I praise the Lord. I'm not trying to say that I always respond this way. In younger years, I'd have kicked the tire, I'd have kicked myself. I'd have said, you kick me. I mean, I've done whatever I need to do. But what good does that do? You ever messed up like that? You ever felt like a failure like that? Got a tow truck. Finally, the mechanic said, I can't. So I ended up staying another night at this motel. And I said, well, can you get it ready by the morning? I didn't even know what was wrong with it. I mean, it didn't look good at all. Bent all up. And you know, I'm thinking, well, who is this guy? And will he charge your arm and leg? You know, you don't know all that stuff. I'm telling you, what do you do when you go through a trial? You pray. You say, dear God, it was my blunder, Lord, but aren't you glad that even in our blunders, God can get glory? I need somebody to help me there. Hey, look, Israel blundered. Israel blundered. Israel couldn't blame it on anybody else. Israel blundered. Israel didn't do what God told them to do. And even though it's a little different situation here, and yet God said, I'm going to bring you back to the land. Jeremiah, go ahead and get some land and buy it, and I'm going to bring you back to the land. Is there anybody here that you feel like a failure? $450 later, after paying the mechanic, I was able to get in the car. Hallelujah. I was just glad to get the car back. Somebody say amen. I was just glad to make my way to the big town of Atlanta and go through the traffic and make my way up to South Carolina. Yesterday, getting ready to go up to North Carolina for the wedding, the bus broke down. Shuttle bus, side of the road. I'm talking about troubles and trials. I'm talking about, praying. It doesn't do any good to get all bent out of shape. It doesn't do any good to start fuming and fretting. And we all are going through troubles and trials. But God said, hey, look, troubles and trials you got, the testing of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though be tried with fire. And this is the key. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's say that together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you need a word from God. When the car was messed up, and I'm thinking, dear God, I mean, how am I going to get back home? You know, rent a car, should I not? Should this and that? Lord, I need a word from you. And sometimes you just got to get with God, like some of us need to do today. Just get with the Lord. God will give you peace, even when you make blunders. Y'all never make blunders, do you? Yeah, you do. I know you do. Hey, God still loves us. Isn't that wonderful? And here's the deal. Work on your faith in God. That's the key. Number two, work on your faith in God. God said, I'm going to bring you back. God said, I'm going to bring you back, Jeremiah. That is the people. I'm going to bring them back. We know the rest of the story. They ended up in Egypt. And then finally, in closing, when you're going through a hard time, how to make your summer sizzle? One, by doing what? Enlarging your prayer influence. Are you going to do that today? You're going to enlarge that prayer influence. God, I hadn't really been seeking you. Hadn't really been committing all this stuff to you. And now, Lord, I see that person I can't control and that situation, it's out of my control. But God, I pray you'll control my heart. But then, Lord, I'm going to exercise faith in you. I'm going to trust in you. Lord, I'm going to believe that you are going to be with me, that you are going to carry me through. Hey, look, God says, Brother J.R., you got a lot of physical problems, your legs, your back, and Brother Jim, there you are at the hospital in Panama City, your wife. You know what I'm talking about. This message is very relevant to y'all two brothers. I know I've been talking with y'all the last couple of days, and I don't know about everybody's situation, but I can tell you Brother Jim was going through the throes of the same thing plus some more than I was. Brother Jim, your wife's in the hospital. She's not responding. You wake up in the morning. She's not saying anything to you. You call 911. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if she's had a stroke. You don't really know, and so there's just some uncertainty. We're praying. You're praying, and now we look back in retrospect and we can say hallelujah. But when you're going through something, it's real, it's intense, and we need everybody praying for everybody. And Brother Jim was telling me what a blessing it was to have the people of God praying. Man, when you're going through a trial or trouble and you know folks are praying back home, glory. That helps lift the load, doesn't it? And then when your back's up against the wall and the bottom falls out, you say, dear God, like Job did, though he slay me, yet I'm going to still trust him. Whatever I'm going through, I'm still going to trust him. Have you purposed that in your heart today? And then you know what it'll do? Jeremiah found his cousin, bought some land. That's where I get that reconnect with your family. Your family's watching you. Friends are watching you. Hey, I know the folks at the motel were watching me. You know what they were saying? They said, well, why aren't you jumping up, hooping and hollering? I said, well, I'd have messed up, you know. And so people are watching you. It opened my eyes. People are watching. I'm standing there by the car and you know, the things all messed up. I mean, people are watching you. It can enlarge. It can really reconnect you with your family. They need to see Jesus. Somebody say amen. Let's stand together, can we?